Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. It's more than a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology. It's perfect for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. Inside the program, whether it's group or private, we will quiet the relentless inner critic, break old patterns of procrastination and self-sabotage, and begin redefining ADHD on your own terms. So in just a few weeks, you'll find yourself grounded, confident, and leading your life with intention by learning to work with your fancy brain instead of against it. If that speaks to you, find more at fitology.com. That link, of course, will be in the show notes. And today we have with us Mindy Alexander, a mom, full-time professional, business owner, and late diagnosed ADHD adult. For years, Mindy thought she was broken instead of just wired differently. She balances a full-time job, a creative business, health issues, and burnout. She's here to share what actually works for her, what doesn't, and what she's still learning. No hacks, no hustle hype, just real life with an ADHD brain. Mindy, that is by far the best reason I can think of to have this conversation. So thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Let's start by setting the stage. You're still fairly new to understanding ADHD for yourself. How did that all come about?
Well, let's see, a couple of years ago, I had a change up in doctors, and that's pretty normal for me because I have multiple specialists because I have lupus and I have fibromyalgia and I have several other things going on with me. But when I switched recently doctors, I just felt like they were adding on medications and more medications. And I'd been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and it started rubbing me wrong that medications were being added. And not that I'm against it, but I just felt like, you know, adding medications rather than asking more questions. And yes, I have a therapist, but I just felt like adding more medications without talking more through it was kind of a big deal to me. So I asked more questions to myself, and I explained to them that there was something a little bit larger about this and that I wasn't focusing, and this has always been a problem to me, and that sitting down and putting myself into a project has always been an issue and frustrating for me. And if anything got in the middle of my focus, it just took me completely out of sorts. It just completely distracted me. And I know that for the normal person, if you get distracted, it's hard to get back into focus. But for me, it just felt like even more of a distraction. It felt even more of a struggle. So I brought this up to her, and while she continued to put me on more medication, I still made it a big deal about, you know, can we just please focus more on this? Like, this is a big deal to me. And so over time, we decided that it was going to be something that we would work on. So we did put me eventually on a medication that helped with ADHD. And immediately I noticed a difference. And we started low on a medication, and I noticed a difference in my ability to focus on tasks. And that right there was huge for me because I felt validated, and I felt that I didn't feel alone. And then I started doing self-research on this because I just have always felt that there was something bigger to my story, that I have always been frustrated about little things, and I've always been disorganized. I've always had an issue with impulse and emotions when it comes to certain things when they're not organized certain ways for me. But then again, I have a hard time being organized. And it just felt like, I was falling in line with all of the ADHD characteristics that I was reading. And the groups that I was reading into, all these moms that were struggling with this too, their pet peeves for ADHD was something that I was struggling with too. I didn't feel alone. And, I started talking to my therapist about it, and she's like, I don't know. I just feel like being light or late stage diagnosed with ADHD isn't something that's normal. And so I felt very invalidated. And that's when I decided, I just don't know if this is something I want to talk to her about, or just kind of lean another direction, because I feel like some therapists don't always, they don't always hear you. And so you want to find a therapist that will listen to you and that will understand what you're saying and not per se say you're right. I want one that challenges me, yes, but I want one that hears what I'm saying. Because that's what always what I've been dealing with is doctors that want to go their own direction. And while I loved my therapist, I just felt like maybe I wasn't being heard. And so, as we leaned more at my doctor's office into discovering my issues with ADHD, she ended up leaving the practice. So then I had to find another doctor. And I found a doctor that I really, really love. And she pulled me off of medications that no longer suited me. And we really honed in on my ADHD. And that has really been a life changer for me. And I am no longer on depression medicines that are counteracting my ADHD medicines. And now I feel like I'm really on a good path. And while I still have anxiety, because that's just part of who I am, I feel like I have such a great game plan with things. It's just, with ADHD, you can't, it's not a cure, these medications. But when you have a grasp on what your life is and what your challenges are, you understand yourself a whole lot better. And I deal with things a whole lot differently. But I just still feel like there's a huge stigma on ADHD. And my thing is if people feel like there's a question on their diagnosis, that they need to really hear that and listen to that inner voice and deal with it. Because nobody else is going to do it, except for you. So I had to be my own advocate.
Yeah, you really did. And that can sometimes be extra difficult for us with ADHD, especially if we have lived our whole lives not knowing that we have it, because so many of the messages we get in our society and in our culture are dismissive, and they tell us to ignore the that feeling in our stomach or our chest, and that we're being oversensitive, and all of the other messages that we get that tell us what we know inside isn't really true. So I'm so pleased for you, and so happy for you that you were able to overcome those messages to really tune in to what you knew to be true, so that you could self-advocate. And I think the other thing that your story really highlights for me is the persistent, even though it's 2026, the persistent lack of awareness and misunderstanding about what ADHD really is. and how it can look in adults and how it can be different from one, not just from one gender to another, but from one person to another, and even in the same person over time.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of, we've come a long way, and there's still a long way to go.
Correct. Because when I was a child, it was anger. And as I grew, I would say as a young adult, it was a lot of, I would purchase things, and that's how I dealt with it. And then as I got older, it's migrated to disorganization and focus. So, that's just it. Now I feel like doctors just want to medicate you to calm you down and just silence your voice. And not all doctors, but a lot of doctors do. And I just don't understand that. I mean, thus, you're just depressed. And that's not it. Like, I just feel at one point, I remember my sister saying, they just keep adding pills and pills to you. And I'm like, she's right. That's all they're doing. They're just
My
adding more and more
goodness.
pills, and I don't like that feeling.
We could probably spend a whole other episode or two or three on all the reasons for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm positive that every doctor has the best intention. The system is
Yeah.
broken, but
Agreed.
that's a whole other story. I'd love to go back to that idea of intuition though, and your inner knowing and your ability to tune out the messages that surely you received over the years about ignoring your intuition and focus in on how you did know. Was there something you noticed in your body, or were there recurring thoughts that helped you see there really is more going on here to the point that you were able to self-advocate?
Yes. So I would say it was my organization, because my intentions are always really good and I want to be organized. And I am a labeler. I love labeling things. I'll organize something so well. And then a week later, it is back to where it was. And I'm almost in tears every time because I'm like, but I did so well, and then it's back to where it was. And it's not, I don't know how to explain it for ADHD. It's just how we are. It's not like we purposely go that direction. It's just we aren't good at organizing things long term. It is a, I don't know how to say this without sounding terrible, but it is a wiring. It is something that we struggle with. So, and my husband's extremely patient with me on this, but I'll organize something. It'll look amazing. It'll be probably better organized than somebody that doesn't have ADHD. It'll have labeling like crazy, and then I a couple days later, it's back to where it was. So I struggle with that. And I'll be holding something, and then it'll be in my hand, and I'll be asking my husband where it's at, and he will say it's right in your hand. And just like right before this call, I was telling you that I was getting ready for it. I had my earphones and I was ready to sit down and I was excited for it, and then I couldn't find my earphones. And it just happens. Like it's a mind mess. So
And
yeah.
it's let's pause there on that point and allow everybody a minute to just to reframe that idea of organization, because I think so often we get stuck in this idea that I can organize it once and it's going to stay that way for the rest of my life. And that's just not how any organization works for anybody. It takes consistent work and practice and going back to put the things back in the bin or where the label was. And that's hard. Harder for some people than for others. So
Yeah.
I hope that at some point you'll be able to give yourself a little bit of a break there and know that again, your intentions are good, and it's just one of those ongoing things that has to be done and done and done. And we tend to have this challenge with object impermanence, that the beautiful classic example of holding your keys in your hand and looking everywhere for your keys is a classic example of object impermanence. If we're not actually looking at the thing, sometimes for our minds it disappears. And so
Yes.
that is a challenge for all kinds of people of all kinds of ages, especially with ADHD. It's like
Right.
organizing on hard mode.
It is, and it's definitely struggle, and I'm telling you, with the business, it's like taking it extra next level because I have to put extra focus on things when I'm down there in my workshop because that has to be organized.
For sure. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about being in business for yourself. I think ADHD lends itself to entrepreneurship really well. We have a lot of qualities and traits that make us really great at starting businesses. At the same time, it can also be hard for us to start on things. Hard for us to follow through, to stay organized and balance the work with the rest and the family and every other part of life. I'm curious, in what ways has that been part of your journey, and where is it showing up most right now?
Yes, so it's definitely it's something that I really have to put a lot of effort into because I have a daytime job and then I have my business after work. So I have my paper calendar and I don't have it on my phone. I don't have it. Well, I do have it on my phone for work, but after work I have it all in my paper calendar and I have to stick to that. And so, and the reason why I don't have it on my phone is because if I have it there, it'll be forgotten. I will just hit okay and I'll move on. But with my paper calendar, I have to physically look at it and I have to physically check it off. So, the balancing part is it's just if one thing gets forgotten, it's just, it throws everything off. Or just like the last few weeks, me getting sick, it completely put me behind.
Like
And then the,
dominoes.
and the guilt sits in. I feel incredibly guilty for being sick, and it hits me a little harder because I've got autoimmune issues. So on top of that, with having the lack of focus, not lack of focus, the focus issues, I should say, because I put so much work into my focus. It's where I have to kind of reorganize my brain. Okay, so I can't work on this, so what can I work on? So then I picked up other things while I was sitting there recovering. Okay, I could work on creative stuff. So then I worked on my creative things that I could do while I was sitting down. And I worked on a ton of social media that I could get done ahead of time. So I didn't feel like I was completely failing at my business, but all the physical things that I couldn't stand for or physically do, that had to wait. So then I had to navigate my system differently, and that just messed up what I needed in my mind. Like, I have to stick to a system, and that system was completely messed up that time period. And so now I'm sort of getting back on track here, but with ADHD, you need a flow. And if that flow gets messed up, it just takes you off balance. So I'm navigating that right now, and it's been a challenge, but and then of course, in January and February, everything's a little bit slower. So it's just been a little bit of a challenge for me, but But even on top of that, I started a business late in life to begin with, and then you add all this on top of it, and then discovering I have late stage ADHD. I'm blessed for that, at least know that. But I still wouldn't change a thing. I still feel like doing this business was a blessing. And the reason why I did it was an amazing reason. So maybe we'll touch on that later, but it's just different for somebody with ADHD to start a business, you know?
Absolutely is.
And you take everything to heart that goes wrong.
And so if we zoom in on the guilt you feel when you're not getting done the things that you had planned to do, and the other toll that it takes on you emotionally and cognitively, where is that costing you the most energy? Is it showing up mostly at work, or is it showing up in other areas? Like when you are with your family, you're so busy feeling crummy that that's not really quality time. Where is it for you?
Yeah, I would say that at night when I finally put everything down, I am not resting well. And so that plays a part into the next day because when we get down at night to rest as ADHD, our brains don't shut down like the normal person. Our brains are shutting down to get ready for the next day. They're
Or
shutting
not shutting
down.
down at all.
No, it's not thinking about what you did that day wrong. It's preparing for the next day. And so we're prepping for what we need to do better tomorrow, what we need to do in a few hours. It's what can we do to prepare for everything the next day? And it's like not writing it down. Writing it down doesn't help because
That doesn't help.
it still goes. And so like journaling, when someone says just journal it, you don't understand. Journaling doesn't solve the problem for me because I'm still thinking about it. And so if you don't give yourself time during the day to sit down and have a moment, your brain's still going to continue on at night. So I'm finding that I need to take at least 15 or 20 minutes or longer through the day to myself. But I never give that grace to myself. So I struggle at night. And I used to make more of an effort to make dinner for my family at night, and I haven't done that for a while. So I would say if it's impacting anything right now, it's impacting my family life. I'm not making enough effort for that.
Or in gentle encouragement to reframe here,
Yeah,
you are making so much effort in other areas that there isn't any left over. And you can shift that.
Okay,
You
I
can,
like that reframing.
yeah, you can change the balance of how that works. And you know, you're well, let me back up to a couple of things. I heard you say that writing it down doesn't work for you, and journaling is not effective. And that is definitely true for a lot of people, because our brains love to be either way out in the future or way in the past. And sometimes it's painful, literally painful, to an ADHD brain to be right here in this moment, right now, without jumping ahead or falling back. A lot of people will ruminate on what happened during the day and, you know, what they did wrong and what could have gone better and so on. It's hard to be right here, right now. And so one of the things that you proposed is this 15-minute transition time between work and home, which is beautiful. That's a genius way of going about things. You figured out that writing it down doesn't work for you. That's okay. You found something that did. You found this 15-minute transition. And that can be part of a really meaningful and powerful ritual. Ritual makes it sound like it's something, you know, really woo-woo and mystic, but it's not. It's just a It's a thing, a habit, let's say,
Yeah.
that helps your brain in almost in a literal way. It helps your brain to shift gears and to remember that the workday is done and the family day is about to start. And it allows you to get into that moment of right now. So I would love to just encourage you and anybody who's listening and feeling a similar way to really capitalize on that 15 minutes. It can be 10 minutes or 5 minutes if you don't have 15, and make it an important part of your day, an appointment, if you will, that is on par with something you wouldn't skip. Like you wouldn't skip a doctor's appointment. You don't skip that 15 minutes. And maybe add something into it that it feels good to you in a sensory way. So that could be something like playing music you love, or lighting a scented candle and doing it the same way each time you have that 15-minute transition, so that it becomes a cue to your mind to leave behind what's behind and leave ahead what's ahead and just be right here, right now. Does that make
Yes, that's a
sense?
great idea. Yeah, that's a wonderful idea. I don't know if this plays into it too, is, and maybe you'll touch on this, I'm not sure, but if someone replies with a single worded text, I take it extremely personal. I'm like, what did I do? Are you mad at me? And I don't know what it is, but I think it's just because I just feel like I did something wrong. I don't know, but
It could be a number of things. The first thing that popped into my mind was this notion of rejection sensitive dysphoria, which is not a diagnosis of itself, but is a really common characteristic, a common trait for ADHD and other neurodivergences. A lot of times, because we are very sensitive and we do have a really finely tuned radar for what other people are thinking and feeling, we have a lot of empathy for other people and can pick up on subtle cues really easily. And a lot of us have grown up, have developed by in this way where we're always scanning the environment for cues of social safety. So we're always looking around us and feeling around us for people that accept us and love us as we are, or people who don't understand, want us to change, want us to fit into some box that we don't fit in. So after a number of years and a whole lot of practice doing this, it becomes really easy to pick up on other people's cues and signals. And by virtue of being humans, we tend to have a negativity bias. So we always pick up more easily on what could be negative than what could be positive. So my hunch is that's what's going on for you. You get a one-word text and immediately you think, oh my gosh, something's wrong. I've done something to make somebody mad. I got to go fix it right now. When more than likely that's not the case. They probably were driving and they could only type yes.
It was just like, wait a second. This is something I was just pondering, and my sister knocks me for it all the time. She's like,
Does she?
wait a second. This is you. This is, she sent me a GIF last night. I was like, wait a second. Are you making fun of
That's
me?
great. That's one of the best. That's one of the best ways to become aware of that pattern and then get yourself over it is to have somebody like that in your life that will check you on it
She
when
did. She
you
did.
are going too far. I really love something you said to me when we first got in touch, that you said you're not looking to be fixed, but instead you're learning to work better along with your brain. And that's really familiar territory for me. And I don't ever want anybody to feel like they need to be fixed because they're not broken. But oftentimes the systems we work in are broken. So I'm curious if you could fix just one of those systems, one of the ways our world typically operates, what would you fix and how would you do it?
I think kind of in the state of our world right now, there's a lot of people out there that are so the attack. They're attacking on every topic, every reason, and they're not considering the environment that they're around and that people just want to have a conversation. So in a lot of mental stuff that people are dealing with, don't like to be attacked.
Nobody does.
No.
Yeah.
So my thing that I would fix is just to encourage people to sit down and have a conversation with somebody and have a talk with them rather than just attack. And I think that would go a lot longer than just seeking people out online or just even in public and just attacking them for their thoughts and their feelings or their opinions on things. Because I immediately get my defenses up and I shut down. Or I will come out swinging. And a lot of times when I come out like that, I don't mean half of the things I say. It's just my defense mode. So it's just, I would say if I could change one thing that and fix one thing, that would be what I would fix. It's because of what I've dealt with in the past. It's my defense mechanism. It doesn't work well with my ADHD and it's my fight or flight. So that's kind of, I guess, one thing I would change.
That's beautiful. There was a can't remember now exactly who told me this, but I do remember she was a parenting coach, and the phrase that she gave was get curious, not furious. And that sounds a lot like what you're saying, to have a conversation with somebody and try to find common ground versus just going on the attack for everything that you disagree on.
Right, because people are just so quick to say, well, I'm just going to unfriend you because I don't like what you have to say, or I'm just going to, nope, if you're one of these people, just unfollow me now. And I was seeing this a lot, especially lately, and then underneath their profile they'll say, be who you are, embrace who you are, and I'm like, but then you're saying this and that isn't representing who you are. And be open to people, truly, if you're representing that, be who you are. Be represent who you truly are and open your arms a little bit. People will talk to you and maybe they'll open their ears. Maybe they'll hear what you have to say and maybe they'll understand it. Maybe you'll bring them to your side. I don't know, but they're not going to hear you if you're yelling.
100%. 100%. So, as we start to wrap up today, I would love to know if somebody for sure is listening who feels exactly the same way that you did at one time, and dismissed by providers, misunderstood, maybe misunderstood by herself even, and she's struggling quietly through it, maybe feeling like, oh, this is just the way it is. It's always going to be this way. What do you hope that that person takes away from this conversation? What do you want her to know?
You're not being unreasonable to yourself. You're worthy of everything about you, you're worthy. What you're feeling is valid and you need to speak up for yourself. If your doctor's not listening to you, then find another doctor. And it might be work, but that work is worth it. And if your therapist isn't listening and you like your therapist, you can always get a second opinion from another therapist. And if you're afraid of cost or expense, check with your work because they have EAPs that you can resource out, I'm sure, somewhere, but a lot of works have EAP programs that'll offer free therapy services that you could seek. And usually you get five free sessions, but if you don't have that, then just look for free services or just go see another doctor because there are resources out there. You need to get your feelings heard. And often you are, if you're feeling it, it's true. Something's going on because not everybody has depression. Not everybody has that. And there are a lot of misdiagnoses out there. So,
Exactly.
and just because you have ADHD doesn't mean you can't reach for something bigger.
Absolutely. In fact, you're perfectly positioned to reach for bigger and better things.
Ah,
Yeah.
yes.
Wendy, thank you so much for being here and sharing so generously and transparently today. I love that your whole reason for being here is to increase understanding and peel back the layers of shame. Because it's moments like these that help others realize they're not alone. It's not just them, and change is possible. We didn't
Yeah.
even get to talk about your work, and I apologize for that, but I do want you to tell us about your business, what you do, and how people can find you.
Absolutely. So if people want to follow what I'm building, they can find me at Graphene Fusion, and it's a small creative business where I design and produce personalized products. And what those do is they help people celebrate moments. And support causes and connect with people that they care about. Everything is designed and made by hand. It's really about creativity, meaning, and community. And you could find me at graphenefusion.com or on social media under Graphene Fusion. It's really what I do alongside my full-time career. And at IG, which is also, you guys know, Instagram, it's graphing underscore fusion. And then and I'm building my following on Facebook, so don't laugh at my follower count, but it's graphing fusion
Never.
LLC. And then I have another one that I have linked to that I it's under Mindy Alexander, but that one you can ask to follow me and I'll accept it. But so I have two accounts on Facebook. But feel free to follow me there, and we have a campaign going this month where it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and
Wow.
it's we're taking the funds from a campaign that we're running for Caitlin's Kindness. She's a sweet little girl that is putting together chemotherapy bags for cancer patients, and they're called Sunshine Sacks, and
Oh.
proceeds of that go towards making these sacks. And then in a few months, we see I take my money and I put it towards causes. And then in a few months, we're doing a campaign for I'm a sponsor for a local Riverdale shelter where it helps adopted animals get adopted, but it's through Wheels and Whiskers, so we'll be doing that too. So just follow us online and you'll see all these great events. And thanks for having me on.
My
I
pleasure.
love speaking truth, and if it helped one person today, I'm happy to do so. And it was such an honor to be on your show today.
Well, thank you so much. I learned a lot and enjoyed the conversation as well. We will put all of your links into the show notes for sure. Time for your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit. Three ideas from this episode that you can start trying in your own life today. Number one. The check-in that says something is off. So many of us with ADHD spend years thinking that the problem is a personal failure, a character flaw, or just something that's wrong with us. But instead of asking, what's wrong with me? Try asking instead, what if this is a system problem? So think about a challenge in your life, whether that's focus or organization, emotional overwhelm, work-life balance. And just ask yourself, just notice, how have I been treating this like a character flaw? What if it actually is a wiring difference? Because it is. And then finally, what support or strategy could exist that I haven't even explored yet? You don't have to figure it all out today. You don't have to diagnose anything. Just allow the possibility that your experience deserves curiosity instead of criticism. Number two, the reset ritual. ADHD brains often struggle with transitions, all kinds of transitions. Work doesn't just stop when the work stops, it follows us into the evening, unless we have a way of drawing that boundary for our mind. So you can try a 10 or 15 minute transition ritual between work and home. It could even be shorter than that if you need it to be, just 5 minutes, maybe 10. During that time, include one small sensory action. You could play a song you love. You could light a scented candle, take a short walk, or sit quietly with tea and wrap your hands around the mug to feel how warm it is. The goal here is not to be productive. The goal is telling your nervous system one thing is finished and it's time to start the next. It's time for a shift. Small rituals like this help our brains change gears instead of carrying the last thing into the next. And finally, experiment number three, interrupt the mind reading. So if you have ADHD, you probably also have a really sensitive radar for social signals. It could be a short text message, a delayed reply, a neutral tone, or a neutral face, a resting bitch face, if you will. Suddenly, you see one of these things or hear one, and your brain is running a full investigation. But the next time that happens, instead of going straight to the worst possible conclusion, pause and ask yourself, what are three other possible explanations besides that person is mad at me? Could be they're busy. Maybe they're driving. Maybe they're just tired. Maybe their toddler grabbed their phone and typed something that they didn't even mean to. Your brain is wired to scan for danger. We all have a negativity bias because that's a survival strategy. But sometimes giving it just a few alternative stories is enough to calm down the alarm system. That is your lab kit for today. I hope you'll pick one experiment and let me know how it goes. And Mindy, thanks again for your time. It's really been great.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy podcast. If you're nodding along and thinking, oh, yeah, that's me, then please subscribe and share this episode with another woman who gets it. Your reviews help more women discover they're not failing. They're just wired differently. And that is a good thing, despite the challenges. Plus, I want to hear your story. Apply to be a guest at myadhdalchemy.com and join my free community at fitology.com/community. Those links will be in the show notes. Together, we can rewrite the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.